Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, endeavoring there is not a good translation. In the Greek, endeavoring means the word, it means at the expense of all else, at the expense of everything else, keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why the unity of the Spirit? Because he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And anything that says that there isn't that unity is a lie. I mean, that's the one lie of the devil. That's the lie that he's deceived the whole world. The whole world is deceived because they believe they are separate from God and have to take action, do things that return you to that oneness with God. You understand that? There's no, you're not separate and now are going to get to God some way. By the gospel was preached unto every creature which is under heaven. The lie is that you were separate in your mind. You understand that? You're not going to, there's nothing that you can do. You can't accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You can't read scriptures. You can't get it right. You are one with God. You always have been. You were chosen in him from before the foundation of the world. We are one in the Spirit. We are one now. We are seated in the heavenlies now. All we have to do is have our minds renewed so that we see that in everything. That's the gospel. The full inheritance is there now. And what we'll see, that's the purpose of first fruits, is to remind you that you have an inheritance, that you can, that it is a godly and goodly inheritance, that it's there now, there's nothing left to do. You can dwell in it and occupy it today. You don't have to wait for something to happen.
That's one of the things that's amazing about living around animals, is that they just live in a way that's like that. They demonstrate daily absolute certainty that you will take care of them.
Yeah.
They don't go, gee, I wonder if I'll get dinner, or they never think about what they need to do. They sleep in one position, roll over and sleep in another. I mean, it's like they know they're covered.
Right.
It's an amazing type.
That's strange that you should say that, because our dog was outside today. I went out to let her in, and she was sitting in the mud, which is so weird for her, but I let her in the back, and I was picking up each paw and cleaning it up before she came into the house, and it just struck me that that's how God had me now.
Yeah.
God had me with one paw off the ground, and I was off balance, but I could just... That was okay, you know? I mean, it's not like he was going to yank
there.
It out from underneath me, or
yeah.
Cut it off, or...
Yeah, it's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far up, far above all heavens, that he might fill or fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That isn't five different people. That is one, that is the process that happens in a body. The first is the apostle. He falls into the ground and dies. As he falls into the ground and dies, then what happens? He believes, therefore he speaks. He prophesies. As he speaks, some will hear, therefore he evangelizes. Then those that hear, this, the pastor-teacher role has to come in about, has to come into effect. Now some of you here are called to that. You will be called as an apostle. So you will be sent out and you will go someplace and you will fall into the ground and die. But that cannot happen as long as you are bringing strange gods with you. You have to be brought to the place where there are no strange gods within you. Then God will take you and you will fall into the ground and die as an apostle. Then because you believe, you will speak. Because you speak, there will be some that listen and hear, and then we will reproduce ourselves.
Is an evangelist just someone who speaks? I mean, like,
no, an evangelist is the process. I mean, again, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That's one person.
Okay. Well, when I see that word, I have a screwed up definition, obviously, of what that is.
Okay. So, but they not, huh?
What does that guy do?
Well, he's saying it's one person.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
what does the word mean?
Someone with that one person is evangelizing. What is that?
Then a body is formed.
It's what?
A body is formed.
Well, it's like pastors and teachers. It's almost like a verb. It's an ongoing thing. So it's evangelizing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like somebody hears you. You're on the radio, and somebody hears you, and they call.
Anyway.
Whatever.
Yeah, but again, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher doesn't do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is done by the saints. Here, listen. He gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, we see him then as all and in all. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness where they lie in wait to deceive. It's not just the sleight of men outside, it's the sleight of men in here, the cunning craftiness that lies in wait to deceive you. What's the deception? The deception is always judgment. The deception is always has to do with thinking there's something left to do. The lie always says that somebody isn't one with God and they have to do something.
Reminds me of the meeting I went to with my dad in Cincinnati back with six professionals and a preacher that they all reverenced him, and he was the empowerment, and how when I treated him just like I treated everybody else, there was an offense committed.
Sure. We henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. All you have to do is look at some of these TV evangelists and they're using the word of God as a enticement. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. The word edify means to build or build up. But it doesn't mean to build up, okay, well, I'm going to build you up by giving you strokes. The word is the same word that's used in the Old Testament when the tabernacle reared itself. All of the people that built the tabernacle, they built little parts. Everybody had some little thing to do, and they sat around on Moses' front yard. And after about 3 months, Mrs. Moses was really pissed off. What are you going to do with all this stuff? And literally, it was 3 months.
Another job you started,
didn't finish. And what happened is, they went to bed, and one night they woke up, and the tabernacle had reared itself. That is the process by which the body is reared up. When every member sees the cross, then the body edifies itself with no effort. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk, or walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, making judgments based on the senses. That's the vain mind of the Gentile. Remember what I just said earlier. You are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts, for those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. Anything that you say, if you can look at it and say it's highly esteemed among men, I promise you, the second level of the test, if you're justifying yourself, then you know you're walking in the mind of the Gentile. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Not because they haven't accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, but because the God of this world has blinded them to think that some action is necessary in order to have union. Who being past feeling, this is spiritual feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Now, what is lasciviousness? It just means it's another word for wanting more than you have. It's a constant. You're never, ever satisfied. There's no contentment. You're always wanting more, 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 and it doesn't matter whether it's spiritual. Anything that's a gain to you is a loss to Christ, so you must see that no matter what state you find yourself in, the peace of God is there. If you cast down the imagination. To work all uncleanness with greediness. Again, uncleanness here is not what you define as uncleanness. Can you understand? 90% of the people have named the name of God in their lives. They have a definition of what is God and a definition of what is unclean. And both of them, and 99.9999% of the cases are wrong. These are technical terms. The word unclean is Levitically unclean according to the book of Leviticus. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, deceitful desires, wanting more than it has, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. The only purpose of you making money, the only purpose of you working, is so that you have to give.
It's really cool on 26. I guess we've talked about it before, but it's like, be angry and sin not. And the stipulation is don't let any time pass. In other words, be instant or...
Right.
Forget it.
When in verse 28 it says, let him that stole, is that him, me?
You. Now, how much? What have you stolen? Mostly what people steal isn't the stealing of the stuff or the stealing of the goodies or the jewels or the... That's not... The stealing is you steal by gaining your sustenance from somebody else. Gaining your peace of mind from somebody else. That's stealing, spiritually.
Wow.
Getting your joy from somebody else. If somebody else affects your joy, then you are robbing.
love is really
stealing.
Scary.
Stealing.
Wouldn't that be the tithing stuff to you?
Hmm?
Wouldn't it be about the tithing stuff to you?
Tithing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about that on Sunday. Tithing has got to become an act of worship or it's nothing. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, what does that mean? How do you let no corrupt communication out of when it says above all things prophesy? And there's only one way, the fear of God. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put away there means divorced. How do you divorce it? You divorce the mind. You divorce the mind that's the author of it. How do you divorce it? You make it die on the cross. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now this is, we're finally where I wanted to talk to tonight with 17 minutes left. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Now the word there, given himself for us, is confusing. He is the offerer in all of the offerings, but he's also the priest. But here we have to see the offerer is Christ himself standing for us. The man Christ Jesus standing for us, he is for us without the camp. When he made the trespass offering. He is for us without the camp when he made the sin offering. He is for us without the camp bearing our sin, and he's for us in all of these sweet savor offerings being accepted and satisfied. It's hard for us to hear this in the English language, but he did it for us. What we hear is, well, he did it instead of us. But you got to see that that's not what it says. What it says is we have to really see this, is he did it as us. And that's what the words mean in the Greek. He did it as us. When he was judged as us. When he kept the law perfectly, when he fulfilled the law perfectly, he fulfilled the law as us. When he was accepted by the Father, he was accepted as us. And now mostly important, and the most important thing you're going to hear, when he was satisfied as us. Now, if you hear nothing else, hear this. He became us. When he was judged as us. When he was accepted as us. When he lived as us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the gospel. That's why nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken from it. Whatsoever God doeth, he doeth it forever. That nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken from it, and he doeth it that men might fear him. Therefore, we are now standing because he is standing, perfect, forgiven, accepted in the brethren as one. Anything else is a lie. But it's a lie that God authored to test whether or not you believe it. To test not just that you believe it, whether you became it. He walked through, he spent 3 days in the depths of hell as me. He ascended into heaven as me, as you, as us. He is seated as us in the heavenlies tonight. And anything that's going on in time and space, it's going on only to bring that perfection into holiness by the antagonism. Holiness is tested innocence. Untested holiness is dog doo-doo. Therefore, anything that you perceive as negative, anything that you see externally as negative, anything you see in yourself as negative, anything you see in anyone else as negative, is only the Spirit of God using whatever it is, even in your mind, to cause you to find out whether you believe and that whether you walk as is it, as if it is finished, as if it, you are standing perfect now. It's not going to happen someday. It's now. If you're not in the, if you're not in heaven now, you never will be. Now, the act of eating the peace offering is the act of a group of people sharing that knowledge in Christ with God and with each other. That's why he's known unto us in the breaking of the bread. But please, I beg of you, don't let your minds be deceived any longer. There's neither male nor female, bond nor free, Greek nor Jew, but we are all one in him, having been judged as him, having been crucified as him, having walked through hell as him, having been accepted as him, having been perfected as him, and now standing perfect as him. Now, if anything, if you believe anything else, you're believing a lie. If you're saying anything else, you're saying a lie. If you're speaking anything else, you're speaking a lie. If you're thinking anything else, you're thinking a lie. It's Christ in us, Christ in you, you in Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Anything else makes the gospel incomplete. Anything else makes the death of Christ unnecessary. And you've got to go to war with this evil one. This is the chief of lies. This is the father of lies. This is the child of the serpent. This is unredeemable. This is unforgivable. I'm sick unto death of you believing this in the face of the perfection of he who we have dealings with. When offering show us Christ, they show us his body. For he stood for us as he is in this world, so are we. We are now accepted in the brethren. We are accepted in the beloved. Now, tonight. Well, that may be true, but I got to do this. No, you don't. You're believing a fucking lie. You might as well have gotten your information from the depths of hell. Well, I believe I'm perfect, but you're not. Same place. From the depth of hell. He stood for us. He stood as us. He was us. When Christ offered God, when Christ was offered, God saw us offering. These are the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's why I say to you, study the law. It's either this or nothing. Whatever he did, we are reckoned to have done it. For as us he did it. Whatever he enjoys, we enjoy. Whatever gives him satisfaction gives us satisfaction. And that is the essence of the peace offering.
I really hate to have to ask this. I hear what you're saying. And there's this other part that's screaming. I guess I hate this. Yeah, but how do you know that you're part of this chosen people?
That's the ultimate test. The test is, and I've had to face it on three different occasions, that I knew that I wasn't, but I still had to continue doing the same thing.
I needed to hear that.
That's why Moses said to God, when he was going to wipe him out, he said, no, kill me instead. That's why Job said, throw me in the depth of hell and I'll love you anyway.
When you say study the law, what books exactly are you talking about?
The law. Pentateuch.
Studying the law, the thing that will show you is that you're free from it.
The thing that will show you is that it'll show you the purpose of the law is to shut up your mind, to shut up your mouth. You're not, you know, it won't show you free from it. It'll show you that you're dead meat. And then you will cry out and say, my God in heaven, because again, if you don't keep every jot and tittle of the law, then you're subject to the whole law. And if, and as I said in the morning Bible study, you better get on your horse. You better start going over to Jerusalem, building the temple, finding the ashes of the red heifer, finding the Ark of the Covenant. You better find out somebody that can still has a genetic history of being able to purify the temple. You better get about $8 billion worth of just gold alone.
But if you're abandoned, you're free from
the... Pick out the Muslims.
That's right. It's either all or nothing. It's either you have to see you're dead and have no other thing except he is my life, or it's everything else.
The equation, the law, and then there's the equal sign, and there's the cross.
You cannot see, you cannot search the law without seeing your death.
And like you can't be a little bit at peace. It's either you're at peace or you're not.
Right.
You know, you're wiggling, trying to find it, or you're at peace.
So, and having said that, it just makes an idea of when I bring in my idols or my judgments of how filthy that is to the body.
Right. You have to see is that then the moment you do that, then you have to you buy your airline ticket to Jerusalem because you got to go build a temple. First, you got to knock down the Dome of the Rock, because the Dome of the Rock, the Muslim temple, is on the temple site. And if you knock down the Dome of the Rock, you'll start the Third World War.
What does it mean to say that Jesus Christ even needs a hope of glory? Is it because from this vantage point, I don't see the glory yet?
The hope. What is glory?
What is hope?
Well, hope is at any given moment,
things not seen.
That light will...
At any minute...
It's that feeling you talked about at the last feast. It's that feeling of expectancy that at any moment the light will break forth.
Right. Anytime that you don't feel this, anytime you feel whatever it is that you feel when you get on this weird
he's
shit.
The hope mm-hmm.
Huh?
He's the hope and glory.
Right. But whenever you feel, oh my God, and then your only hope is hope.
Yeah.
Then it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. The glory is the transfiguration. That's what we're here for. We're here to be transfigured.
No matter what your mind says, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what your emotions say, Christ has already done all this as us.
Right.
And we are seated in the heavenlies. And that cannot be taken away. No way, no how.
Unless you screw up with your money and have to go to
the
Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen.
But think on these things. Next time your mind confuses you, you better get on that plane, make your airline ticket, start building the temple.
Take
a big guy.